Well, Happy New Year, and I hope each of you had a wonderful holiday, and it's good to be back together now for worship. Every January, it seems like I'm catching my breath because September through December fly by. It goes by so quickly, and I'm always wondering, where did the time go? Where did Advent and Christmas go? You know, that part of the year flies by. And as a parent, I'm also finding that time flies by raising kids. One moment it feels like they're babies, and the next moment they're all grown up. This is how the Bible seems to treat Jesus' life. You know, two of the Gospels share stories about Jesus' birth, and then all four Gospels jump ahead to his adulthood, to the time where he was ministering to the people in Galilee. And that leaves me wondering, what happened in between? What was going on in Jesus' childhood and during his teenage years? We just don't know much about what transpired from the time of his birth until he started ministering to the people in Galilee. But he did a lot of growing in that time. We just don't get to read about it. We do find one important story about Jesus' childhood in the Gospel of Luke. And it gives us a glimpse into the ways that Jesus was growing. And I would imagine that during this time of growth, Mary and Joseph felt like Jesus was growing up too fast. That's the experience of most parents. But this story we find in Luke chapter 2. And I'll read verses 41 through 52. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to that passage, or you can simply follow the words on the screen. Again, it's Luke 2, 41 through 52. And let's listen now to our scripture. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. My son Owen will celebrate his 12th birthday in just over 2 months. He's already talking about what he wants to do to celebrate his birthday, which includes cooking his own dinner. He wants to grill steaks, specifically fillets or ribeyes, and baste them in butter, garlic, and rosemary. I think he wants to be a chef. I also expect Owen to give me and Victoria a list of some gift ideas sometime soon. That's just how kids operate, am I right? But do you remember what you were like when you were 12 years old? I do. I turned 12 in the middle of my 6th grade year. It wasn't my favorite time in life, and I don't think the middle school years are a favorite for most people, in part because it's just an awkward time. I remember growing so fast that it seemed like I was outgrowing my shoes every other month. My mom always insisted on buying shoes that were at least one size too large, and she would just say, "You'll grow into them." But lots of changes happen as a person grows out of childhood into adulthood. And the same thing was happening with Jesus, though I do wonder what he was like as a kid. Did Mary and Joseph have to constantly get on him to make his bed and pick up his dirty clothes? Did they have to remind him every night to brush his teeth? Did he pick on his younger siblings, as all older brothers seem to do? And had he discovered his true power, the power that one day he would use to heal the sick, multiply loaves and fish, and raise the dead? There's an ancient book from the second century called the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, which talks about Jesus' childhood. One of the stories in that book claims that when Jesus was 5 years old, he was with a group of kids near a stream, and they were playing in the mud. Jesus decided to shape that mud into the shape of a bird. He then clapped his hands and he shouted, "Fly away, because you're alive." And the birds flew away. Now, stories like that never were included in the Bible for a variety of reasons, and I'm not going to get into those today. But unfortunately, the Gospels also didn't include very many stories of Jesus' childhood. Maybe the Gospel writers just didn't feel a need to talk about his childhood. There's only one story of this time in Jesus' life that we find, and it's the one that I read a few minutes ago. But at the time of that story, Jesus was 12 years old. That's the age when boys came of age in ancient Jewish culture. Now, Jesus and his family were on their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. Now, their journey to Jerusalem from Nazareth was about 70 miles long. That's about the distance from Raleigh to Greensboro. Not a long distance to us. But it wasn't a short trip for Jesus and his family, because they had to walk it, and some people rode on the back of donkeys. It took about 4 or 5 days to get there, but they eventually made it to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And during this holiday, the Jewish people celebrated the story of God liberating their ancestors from their slavery in Egypt. This celebration had a special meaning to Jesus and his fellow Jews, because they were being ruled by the Romans, who made them feel like slaves all over again. Celebrating this holiday kept hope alive that a Savior would one day rise up among them to defeat the Romans. And it was out of this hope that people made the journey to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Now, this was a journey that people made with others. They traveled together in large groups, and they would do the same on the return trip home. Now, this was a social time for them. They got to hang out with friends and family. And so on the way back to Nazareth, Mary and Joseph didn't try to keep Jesus under their thumb. They gave him a little freedom to roam around and probably play in the back of the group with his friends. But after a day of travel, they realize that Jesus wasn't with them. So they rush back to Jerusalem. They search for him for 3 long and frantic days. And eventually, they went to the temple, where they found Jesus sitting and talking with the religious scholars and teachers. Now, that may seem a little odd for a 12-year-old, but remember, the Passover festival was similar to a Baptist convention meeting. You know, people from across the country had come together in Jerusalem. They reconnected with friends and made new friends. They shared meals together, and they had conversations focused on theology, culture, and religious life. Jesus jumped right into those conversations. He asked questions of the religious leaders. He answered questions they posed to him. He soaked up this experience, learning as much as he possibly could. And people were amazed at what he said because it was full of wisdom. I think the religious leaders even enjoyed Jesus' enthusiasm, and they probably wondered what his future would hold. But as soon as Mary saw Jesus, she pulled him aside and she gave him a stern lecture. Mary did what most mothers would do. She said in verse 48, "Child," now you got to imagine your own mother's voice now, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Now, Mary was sick about her son. She and Joseph had looked everywhere for him, and she was probably wondering if she would ever see him again. Jesus, however, was a little confused as to why they hadn't started their search at the temple. He said to Mary in verse 49, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now that tells us a lot about Jesus. By the age of 12, he saw God in a fatherly way. He saw himself as God's own child, and he was gaining clarity about his purpose in life. Now, Mary and Joseph were baffled by what Jesus had done and his explanation of it. And apparently, they took him away and they trekked back to Nazareth. But the Bible doesn't provide any other details, though Luke did add one more verse to summarize what happened over the next 18 years of Jesus' life. Verse 52 reads, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." Now, I think this is a good place for us to stop and do a little reflection. How are we spending our days? Are we growing in wisdom and favor as Jesus did? And if not, what might it take to help us grow in this way? Well, to answer this question, I think we should look back at Jesus' childhood. As a child, he was consumed by the scriptures and learning as much as possible. And apparently, he had been studying the scriptures every day, and we know that because the religious leaders were amazed by his understanding and his answers, as we're told in verse 47. Now, two important things stand out here. We learn in this verse that Jesus could answer the questions, and likely hard questions, that were posed to him by the rabbis and the religious scholars. And he showed understanding. Now, for the rabbis and the religious leaders, a proper education wasn't simply gained by possessing information about God and Scripture. Rabbis wanted to know if their students had taken to heart the information that they were learning. Had they wrestled with and understood the information and even owned it for themselves? And this was demonstrated through asking good questions. Now, good questions show that students have grappled with the information enough to realize what they don't know. Good questions show that they have done some deep and serious reflection and thinking. Now, we see in our scripture passage that this 12-year-old Jesus didn't just know about God. He knew God. He had personalized and internalized who God was. He had taken ownership in his relationship with his heavenly Father. And Jesus asked lots of good questions. This leads us to ask some important questions. Do I know about God, or do I know God? Do I feel comfortable exploring questions about God? Do I chase after answers for questions that we don't have answers to? Do my questions show a depth and a hunger to know God more deeply? Now, Jesus was growing because he was asking good questions, and he was focused on his relationship with God. We see this in how Jesus responded to Mary. He said, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And the Message translates that verse as, "Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my Father?" Even though Jesus was still a child, he was driven by a relationship with God, and he was focused on God's business. And God's business is all about transformation. The transformation of our world and our own personal transformations. When we're committed to growing our relationship with God, I think several things happen. We become passionate about our identity as God's children. We hear God's call on our lives. And we see our life purpose as being focused on God's business. Now, if Jesus had any doubts about his relationship to God or his own identity or his calling, it was affirmed and confirmed the next time that we meet Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We find that in chapter 3. And the events in that chapter take place many years later when Jesus was an adult. His cousin John was baptizing him. And a voice from heaven was heard saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus shared a special child-to-parent relationship with God. They shared a deep connection of love and joy. And in that relationship is an invitation for us, because Jesus taught that everyone can enter into a warm, secure parent-child relationship with God. And it's through this relationship that we have our identity as God's children and our purpose in life affirmed and confirmed. When Jesus was being baptized, he had his mission and life purpose confirmed when the Holy Spirit descended from heaven like a dove. And that symbol's significant. The Spirit didn't descend on him like a lion or a tiger or like a hawk or an eagle. He began his ministry under the heavenly sign of a dove. And that is a sign of peace. And when John first saw Jesus, he didn't say, "Behold, the Lion of God who comes to avenge our enemies." But rather, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Removing sin rather than getting revenge is at the heart of Jesus' mission. And that leads to transformation. Jesus is working to remove sin in our lives so that we can grow. And that growth is rooted in having a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, I once heard it said that growth equals grace plus truth plus time. Jesus is full of grace and truth. And with time, we should be able to see the life and teachings of Jesus Christ changing us and causing us to grow. See, part of the adventure of following Jesus is that leads us on a journey of growth and transformation. But growth won't happen by chance. It requires work. And that leads me to ask, do you have a plan for how you might grow this year? Now, the good news is that nothing elaborate is needed, just a commitment to your relationship with God. It's through this relationship that we become passionate about our identity as God's children, and we see more clearly our life purpose. And when we make our relationship with God a priority, we're making the space to grow in wisdom and favor as Jesus did. If we live like this, we just might start a transformation for ourselves and for the world. But you've got to start with a plan. So what can you do to grow in 2022? Would you pray with me? Oh God, as we stand at the beginning of a new year and dream about what lies ahead, I pray that each of us will seek to grow in our relationship with you. Renew our hearts and our desire to seek you, and abide in us that we may know you more deeply. Help us grow in wisdom and favor. Help our faith to become more alive. And Lord, keep us open to hear your call so that we might be faithful in completing the work you give to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our band will lead us in some more music in just a moment. And as we sing, I'll be in the back. If you would like to come and talk with me, to share with how you're responding to God's work in your life, or if you simply want to have someone pray for you, I'll be back there to pray with you and to talk with you. But let's stand and continue our worship.